Naishamati stavar urukramangrim Sprisatyanartha pagamo yadartha Mahiya sampadarjo bhishekam Niskinshananam navrinityavat. They smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination. Persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha apagama, the disappearance of all anarthas, the miserable conditions we have unnecessarily accepted. The material body is the basic principle of these unwanted miserable conditions. The entire Vedic civilization is meant to relieve one from these unwanted miseries. But persons bound by the laws of nature do not know the destination of life. As described in the previous verse, Isha Tantriyam Urudam Nibadha, they are conditioned by the three strong modes of material nature. In this verse, which was beautifully recited by Srila Prahlad Maharaj from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is revealed the inner truth by which all knowledge is revealed to us. In this age of Kali Yuga, the congregational chanting of the holy name is the only means by which we can cleanse the heart of all unwanted material attachments, which are the cause of all suffering. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Yuga avatar, not only established the supremacy of the chanting of Harinam, but also the process in which we should chant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially emphasized the verse, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gathir andyata. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu analytically explained each word of this verse to show how emphatically the author of the Vedas have declared that in this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other means at all for deliverance except the chanting of the holy name of Hari, the chanting of the name of Hari, the chanting of the name of Hari. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that Harinam and Nasteva, Nasteva are repeated three times to give absolute assurance that the Supreme Lord is declaring that it is our only shelter. But Lord Chaitanya taught us the process by which we must chant the holy names in order for it to have the proper effect in cleansing our hearts. Trinad api suni chena, taror api sahishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If we do not aspire for this platform, the chanting of the holy name will not be done properly and will not have the desired effect. To be more humble than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respects to others and to expect none in return. One who lives by this principle can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. We can only chant the holy name of the Lord constantly when we are tasting the infinite sweetness of Krishna's name, and simultaneously when we have no longer any inclination to the topics or the experiences of pleasure in this material world. And Prahlad Maharaj is here explaining the process of becoming truly humble. Unless one is blessed to become dear to the Lord's devotees by one's humility and submission, one cannot approach the holy name in the proper state of mind. Prahlad Maharaj is saying that we must give our body an abhishekam. We must bathe our body with the dust from the feet of those pure devotees who have taken shelter of Lord Krishna. To take the dust from the lotus feet means pariprasnana sevaya, to inquire submissively and to render service to such great souls. When one has faith in the Lord's devotees, then the Lord installs true, unflinching faith in his own lotus feet. The Lord has told Uddhava that those who worship my devotees are performing the greatest worship of me. And the great transcendentalists, they understand this principle. And therefore, this is their supreme aspiration in life. Dhruva Maharaj was such a purified soul because he took shelter of humbly following the instructions of Sri Narada Muni and made his service his life and soul. Dhruva Maharaj attained direct vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Prishni Garbha. And when Lord Narayan offered Dhruva any benediction he so desired, he did not want anything of this material world. In fact, later, Dhruva Maharaj was offered any benediction from Kuvera, who's the treasurer of the demigods. Kuvera has access to all the wealth of the heavenly worlds. But Dhruva Maharaj knew what real wealth was. He did not ask for beautiful women, nor did he ask for great wealth, nor did he ask for great fame and popularity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam bhaja gadisha kamaye. Mama janamani janamanishvari bhavatad bhaktira hoiti kitvai. My Lord, I do not want wealth, I do not want the company of the beauty of the opposite sex, nor do I want fame or followers. I do not even desire liberation from the sufferings of this world. I only want your service birth after birth after birth. And what does it mean to serve the Lord? Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das Das Anudas, to be the servant of his servants. So Dhruva Maharaj asked Kuvera, the only benediction I want is let me become the servant of the servant of the servants of the Lord. That is all. There is no other treasure I aspire for. How important it is to understand this principle is continuously emphasized. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. If we chant the holy names of the Lord in this spirit, we will become purified and cleansed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time in Navadvip, he was dancing in kirtan. And there was a very poor and very uneducated, a very disqualified person by all material calculations. He was an outcast, and he was a tailor. He would sew clothes, but he happened to be Srivas Thakur's tailor. And he even belonged to a race of people that hated the Hindus. But somehow or other, he was always very anxious to please Srivas by sewing nicely for him. And due to this humble effort, he became very dear to Srivas Thakur. So as Lord Chaitanya was dancing, this outcast tailor was watching the Lord, and the Lord, right before his eyes, revealed his divine supreme spiritual opulences. And immediately upon seeing it, this tailor's heart flooded with ecstatic love of God. And he began dancing in ecstasy, and he started pointing at the Lord, saying, "I have seen, I have seen." And he started running all over Navadvip to every place, every marketplace, every bathing ghat, calling out, "I have seen, I have seen," as tears were flowing from his eyes and his limbs were trembling in ecstatic love. What was his qualification? He wasn't a scholar of Vedanta. He wasn't a Brahmin. He never did any tapasya. But he performed service to a devotee who was dear to the Lord. And that cleansed all of his anartas. That was the most pleasing to Krishna. And similarly, we read about Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen, he became very much affectionate to a dog, not even a human being. And this dog became very attached to Shivananda Sen. And simply because he became attached to a devotee, when you become attached to a devotee, naturally you take part in the process of Krishna consciousness. Kapila Dev told Devahuti, his mother, that the same attachments you have now to this world, you should transfer to become attached to a devotee. Because when you become attached to a devotee, you associate with that devotee, and naturally you take prasad, you hear Krishna katha, you chant Krishna's holy names. So this homeless street dog became very much attached to Shivananda Sen, who was very affectionate to him. He would give him prasad every day. He would witness the kirtans and hear the kathas. And somehow or other, Shivananda Sen was out performing some seva for the Vaishnavas. Who is the greatest Vaishnav? Those who is the servant of the Vaishnavas. Shivananda Sen, what efforts he made to serve the devotees. Every year for the 4 months of Chaturmasya, the devotees from Bengal, several hundred in number, would walk all the way to Jagannath Puri to celebrate Ratha Yatra with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is not easy. We have our yatras. And you know, it is not easy organizing it. Of course, we go by trains, and there has to be some place for devotees to sleep. There has to be prasad for devotees to eat. There has to be nice arrangements in, to keep the devotees comfortable and happy. But they would walk, and it would take several weeks. And Shivananda Sen, he himself, he paid all the expenses, and he made all the arrangements personally himself for all the devotees. And it was not easy, because at that time, India, especially Bengal, was under the Islamic rule, and there was so many restrictions. Just to go from one province to another, you had to go through all kinds of boundaries, and you had to pay tolls and taxes, and you had to cross rivers with boats. In fact, it was quite dangerous. But Shivananda Sen would make all the arrangements. So one time they came to a toll gate, and Shivananda Sen told the devotees, "You all stay here and rest and be happy, and I will go deal with all these complications myself." But he told one of his assistants, "Make sure you feed this dog nice Mahaprasad every day, rice." But the servant, he was so busy taking care of all the devotees, he forgot the dog. And when Shivananda Sen returned, the dog was gone. So he was thinking, because of me, this dog has been offended and has left. How meticulously he was, that anyone who came in his procession was fully satisfied. And later on, some days, when they arrived in Jagannath Puri, the dog was sitting with Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was first personally feeding him prasad from his own hands, green mango or green coconut. And he was telling the dog to chant the holy names of Krishna. And the next day, the soul of that dog returned home back to Godhead. That is the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains why that dog got such a benediction. Simply because he was attached to Shivananda Sen, and he was dear to Shivananda Sen. That was his only qualification. Srivas Thakur, the servants and maidservants in his house, when Lord Chaitanya came to give his mercy to Srivas, he said, "Call all of your family, all of your relatives, and all of your servants and maidservants to my to your house, because I know they are all dear to you and they are all attached to you." And then Lord Chaitanya revealed to all of them his supreme form of the divine opulence of the personality of Godhead. And they all achieved love of God. There was one maidservant named Duki, who was just helping the devotees as they were bathing Lord Chaitanya by just organizing nicely the jugs of water that was brought. And Lord Chaitanya saw her and was so pleased that she was helping the devotees that he said, "From this day, your name is Shuki." And she achieved Krishna Prema. That is the power of Lord Chaitanya. What is it that he cannot do? When Lord Chaitanya was but a little child, Nimai, he would play with his friends. And one day, when he was playing with his friends on the banks of Ganga, they happened to come across a group of little baby dogs, puppies. And Lord Chaitanya picked the nicest one out of all of them and began to play with it. And some of the friends began to say, "Why you picked the best dog? Why you left the other dogs for us?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, no, this dog is for everyone. You come to my house and we will all play together." So he took the dog to his house and they were all playing very nicely, rolling in the ground with this puppy dog. And the friends were very happy. Lord Chaitanya was very happy. The puppy was very happy, but then Sachi Mata came home And she was not very happy. She entered inside of her house, and there she saw her son with the dog embraced around his shoulders, rolling in the ground, playing. And she just started beating her palm against her head, and she said, "What are you doing, my son? You are not to bring dogs in your house. You are a Brahmin, and your father is very famous as being a religious man. What will people think when they hear that you are playing with dogs in your house?" And then she began to express her dissatisfaction that your beautiful golden form is all covered with dirt because you are playing with all these boys and these dogs. She said, "If you are so attached to this dog, then just bring him in your own room and forget about your mother and father." But then when she saw the beauty of Gauranga, her heart completely melted. She said, "My son, I will take care of your dog. You go to Ganga and take your bath." And then Lord Chaitanya went to the Ganges and started playing with his friends. They were bathing and splashing and having nice fun. But meanwhile, the dog went away. Actually, Sachimata let him go. And the dog went away. And Nimai came back, and he said, where is my puppy? And Sachimata said, "I do not know. Somewhere the dog has gone." And Nimai started crying. Nimai loved this little dog. And as he was crying, Sachimata was so much trying to pacify him. She said, "I will look for him. We will find him. We will bring him back. But for now, you eat this kheer and you eat this sandesh and you take these nice fruits." And in this way, she started giving him nice prasad, and he became very happy. And then he went out to play with his friends. But meanwhile, the dog was gone. And some days later, this dog began to manifest ecstatic love for Krishna, just because it had become dear to Lord Chaitanya. It had been touched by Lord Chaitanya. And the dog started dancing in the streets of Navadvip, chanting the holy names of the Supreme. And as the dog was chanting very loudly the names of Krishna, tears started flowing from its eyes. All the hairs on its dog body stood on end, like this. And his limbs began to tremble in ecstatic emotion. And when people saw this, all the townspeople of Navadvip were struck with wonder. They all started running to see the sight, and the dog, the puppy, was leading them all in the chanting of the holy names. And then, right in front of everyone's eyes, the dog fell dead in the midst of the kirtan. And just then, from Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme Vaikuntha planet of the spiritual world, descended a beautiful, beautiful chariot, a golden chariot decorated with many domes and jewels. And there were transcendental spiritual beings on that chariot. And they were all singing the holy names of Radha and Krishna. And there were Gandharvas and Charanas who were with whisks and fans on all sides of the chariot. And then that little puppy dog resumed its original spiritual body and boarded the chariot and began to proceed back to the spiritual world. And surrounding this chariot was Brahma and Shiva and all the principal demigods, and they were all struck with wonder, simply chanting the holy names and glories of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who had given the ultimate benediction to a mere puppy, simply because it became dear to the Lord. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Vayu, they were praying in this way, that what we are aspiring for throughout our life and cannot achieve, the Supreme Lord has given to a puppy. This mercy, even Krishna, no other incarnation was so liberal in giving mercy to the most fallen. So if we become dear to the Lord, it does not matter anything of our past, anything of our previous lives. It doesn't matter what our present situation is. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that the laws of karma are very stringent, and there are different stages by which we have to suffer sinful activities. There is kutam, where the sinful activities cannot even be detected by the mind or senses. They are in a very, very undetectable form. And there is bijam, where it is a seed. It is this, the reactions to our sins are just beginning to manifest. And then there is the mature sinful activities that we are presently suffering with our body and mind. But Rupa Goswami explains that the offenseless chanting of the holy names of the Lord is so powerful that it cleanses all different stages of all different sinful reactions. Krishna says in Gita, Sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. You abandon all varieties of religion. You surrender to me. I will relieve you of all sinful reactions at whatever stage they may be. Do not fear. And how to surrender to Krishna? To follow Krishna's instruction. And what is Krishna's instruction in this age of Kali Yuga? Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiram. Rinadapi sunichena tarorapi seishnana amanina manadena kirtanayas. If we chant the holy name of the Lord in the mood of the humble servant of the servant of the Lord with humility and devotion, all of our anartas, all of our sins, everything is vanquished by the power of Krishna, who has descended within the beautiful sound of his name. Srila Prabhupada was very, very emphatic because he had complete faith in these principles which embody the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee should never think that by our own efforts or qualifications, we can overcome the temptations and the illusions of this material existence. It is only by the causeless mercy of the Lord that we have any hope. And the path of bhakti is the means by which we attract the mercy of the Lord. In fact, it is the only means by which we can attract the mercy of the Lord. To put ourselves at the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And Krishna's most greatest power is his beauty. When Krishna reveals his beauty, his charm, the sweetness of his nature to us, then spontaneously, without any separate effort, we become completely indifferent and detached from all the sources of misery of this material existence. But Krishna only reveals that to the degree that we truly want it, that we desire it. Srila Prabhupada often explained that everything is situated on the basis of our desire. But he also said, first deserve, then desire. What this means is, desire for a devotee is not something that is stagnant. But desire in the heart of a bhakta must be dynamic. We must express our desire by our life. And if we do not have such a desire, we have to express our desire to have that desire by our lifestyle, by what we value and what we pursue in our existence. So if we are always pursuing, very carefully restricting our senses and our mind from those things that are unfavorable for devotional service, and we are always willing to perform whatever austerity is required to associate with devotees, to hear the glories of the Lord from them, to serve them, and to chant the holy names according to their instructions. By this, we are showing Krishna that we want to attract his mercy. And if it takes our whole life, even if it takes many lives, it is a small price for what Krishna wants to give us. He wants to give us entrance into our own constitutional nature as the eternal servants of the Lord. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanari Suri Cheti Kodiyayudoi. Krishna is within the heart of every living being. And love for Krishna is also within the heart of every living being. And by associating with Krishna's devotees, by serving them, by hearing from them, by avoiding any offenses to them, by serving them, by assisting them, and how to serve devotees, the scriptures explain. Prahlad Maharaj himself explains in this way that for those who are superior to us, we hear from them and we are always willing to carry out their order and do whatever is required to make them comfortable. To those who are on an equal level to us, we befriend them, we become intimate associates, and we are always discussing much chitta madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam. We are always reminding each other of Krishna, always helping to guard each other from the temptations of Maya. Because Maya is very clever, very strong, and everywhere. So we should befriend devotees. And in our friendship, we should protect one another. We should be the guardians of our brothers and sisters by living very pure, by having nice kirtan together, by taking prasad together, by discussing different ways to serve the Lord's mission together. And to those who are innocent but who are favorable to Krishna conscious, who are newer than us or perhaps even not so strong in devotional service, but aspiring to be so, to them we should be like a compassionate friend, in the sense that we should encourage them, we should preach to them, we should pick them up, we should protect them. But in all cases, we are servant. We are never master. Srila Prabhupada explained so nicely that in the path of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, everyone is eternally feeling himself to be a servant of every living being in all of existence. A devotee never thinks he is superior than anyone. Even the lowest, most degraded, fallen, sinful person, we should never think, I am better. More fortunate, we should think, but not better. Because that person is also part of Krishna. That person is also the eternal servant of Krishna, but forgetful. But what makes the difference between a fallen soul engaged in so many terrible, terrible, violent activities in ourselves? What is the difference? The difference is that we have somehow received the fortune of the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. So we have nothing to be proud of. But we are very grateful for the fortune that we have. And we want to share that fortune with everyone so that everyone can experience the joy of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the supreme joy. It is the ultimate joy. It is the happiness of the soul coming from the eternal spiritual stratum. Nothing can compare to it. In a city like Bombay, people are mad. It is called a rat race. It is really a rat race. But it's worse than the rat race, because there are more rats than humans in this city. I have heard this. There's more rats than humans. But the rats are not suffering as much as the humans. There's no traffic jams. Humans have all these traffic jams. Just to go from one part of, if you go early morning from here to Andheri, it takes about 20 minutes. If you go later in the day, it takes almost 2 hours. Everyone making their horns sound. And nobody's very happy. You look at the people in their cars. They don't look very happy. They're at the most trying to forget their miseries. The rats, they're running quite freely everywhere. Anyways, everyone is so much entangled, so much engrossed in trying to make money, trying to get more and more wealth, more and more prestige, like asses foaming at the mouth. And the students, they're studying and studying and studying under so much pressure and so much social pressures that sometimes they even commit suicide. They're so frustrated. For what? For money. Prahlad Maharaj says, for a materialist, money is sweeter than honey. Why? Why people like money so much? What is it? It's paper. And in India, it's not even good paper compared to other countries. It's rupees. So much anxious. Why? Because these little pieces of paper, they somehow or other can purchase sense gratification. And this is everyone's addiction, sense gratification. But who's satisfied? Where is their happiness in this world of sense gratification? The more you have, the more you need, the more you want. It's an endless cycle. And people are idolizing those who can give the best sense gratification and those who are getting the best sense gratification. They are the heroes, they are the idols, they are the sadhus. People worship them. Just like we are all anxious to get the prasad of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Or we want to get the prasad of a great devotee of the Lord. This is natural. But materialistic people, they are so mad. some of these great heroes in the West. One of them was telling our devotees, he was so famous that when he would go to a, when he would just walk down the street, hundreds and hundreds of people would run up and start tearing his clothes off. Because they wanted his prasad. It's true. Wherever he'd go, anywhere in the world, Europe, America, South America, anywhere they went, they would have to have all kinds of police escorts because people would just attack them and just start pulling their clothes because they just to put in their room that I have the prasad of. What would they? They would just sing songs about sex life, these people. But because they were good singers, everyone wanted their prasad. And they had long hair. Sometimes they'd walk and people would try to pull their hair out. And he explained to one of our friends that one time he was, not once, this was a regular thing. He was sitting in a, he'd be sitting in a restaurant just trying to be like an ordinary person. And then he'd talk to someone and someone would run by and steal all his food. Then he'd have to order again. It takes a long time. So much inconvenience. But this is the way people are. For people who give you sense gratification, you're willing to do so much for your sense gratification. But where is the happiness? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas, out of their great mercy, they have taught us how to be really happy by attracting the mercy of Krishna, by gradually becoming attracted to the beauty and the glories of Krishna. And the process is very simple. To hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the holy names of the Lord, and to always keep the association of the Lord's devotees and always aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Real wealth is humility, because that humility purchases Krishna. Your money can never purchase Krishna. Sudama Vipra had nothing. He just had a little thing of chipped rice. He didn't even have a proper bag. He just wrapped it in his cloth. Chipped rice. But because he had humility and devotion, he purchased Krishna. Krishna washed his feet. The goddess of fortune, Rukmini, fanned him with a chamara. And Krishna gave him a palace greater than Indra's. But Sudama didn't care for that palace. Whether he was living on the ground or in the palace, it was all the same to him, because he was always very happy, in great humility, chanting Krishna's holy name. Sridhar Kolavecha, simple banana leaf seller. His clothes had so many holes in it, and somehow or other he would try to sew patches on those holes. But even that was not very possible. And he was very thin, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally drank the water from his old battered iron pot that he used to wash his own feet. Lord Chaitanya drank that water in front of all the devotees and explained that he drank it for his purification, and it tasted sweeter than nectar because it was the remnants of his devotee. And Shuklambar Brahmachari, he was a beggar. He would go from house to house in Navadvip with a little cloth bag. And people do not give beggars the best they have. They give the worst, if anything. They would just put broken pieces of rice in his bag. And he would collect it, but he was always immersed in chanting Krishna's name. And nobody thought he was anything but an ordinary beggar. People could not recognize him. He never explained to anyone that actually I am a pure devotee. He was very humble, so humble. People sometimes kick beggars away, but he was so humble. But when he was dancing before the Lord in Kirtan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally reached his hand in Shuklambar's bag and began to eat the rice, because he wanted to show the world that this person has attracted my heart because of his humility and devotion. So what is the greatest wealth? Humility and devotion. And we should give anything for that. We should not be enamored or distracted by any of the, Prabhupada called it, will-o'-the-wisp. Prabhupada said, the material existence is like trying to enjoy the eggs that come from a horse. Eggs don't come from horses. That's what it's like, trying to enjoy this world. It's an illusion. As much as a horse egg is an illusion, this is an illusion. Or flowers in the sky. We should understand what is reality, and we should strive to pursue that reality. And Prahlad Maharaj is here explaining how we can achieve that reality by attracting the mercy of the Lord, by becoming the humble. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by the residents of Kulinagram, how do we who are grihasthas become Krishna conscious? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the essence of all knowledge to them. You serve the Vaishnav devotees of the Lord and you chant the holy names. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contaminations. We all have so many materialistic contaminations. Who will deny it? Even when we're chanting the holy names of the Lord, these material contaminations often come to our minds. We have so many insecurities, so many fears of our future, of our past in this material world. We have so many longings and so many desires. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, revealing the hearts of the aspiring devotee, he explains that this kama, this lust of material attachment, they are like shackles that are chaining me to this world and keeping me bound. Praying, O Gopinath, remove these shackles. Free these shackles. We are all prisoners of our own materialistic desires, and to get out of this prison is impossible. It is only by the mercy of the Lord that we can get out of this materialistic conception of life. And Prahlad is here saying, it is only in this way that we can become Krishna conscious. By smearing our bodies with the dust from the lotus feet
of the Lord's devotees and chanting his holy names. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Heard the wonderful narration of how the tailor and even the dog became an ecstatic devotee by the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So now let us very sincerely and with great attention and humility participate in the supreme benediction for all humanity, the congregational chanting of the holy names. And as we are chanting, let us pray to the Lord that we can always respect the devotees with a forgiving heart.